Welcome to the Radio Reading Room, Stories of Americana. I'm your host and reader, Myron Hieronymus Thomas. The month of February is noted for many observances in the United States, including Valentine's Day, Black History Month, and, of course, President's Day. When I was young, we celebrated both Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday on their actual birthdays. I can still visualize creating silhouettes of each president out of black construction paper and placing them on the bulletin board. Lincoln's birthday is February 12th, and Washington's birthday is a week later on February 19th. Since 1879, the federal holiday honoring founding father George Washington, who led the Continental Army to victory in the American Revolutionary War, presided at the Constitutional Convention of 1787 and was the first U.S. president, has been observed as President's Day. While Lincoln's birthday was never a federal holiday, it was observed by many states, particularly Union states. Nearly half the state's governments have officially renamed their observances President's Day, Washington and Lincoln Day, or other such designations. In historical rankings of presidents of the United States, Lincoln and Washington are usually the top two. To give federal employees a three-day weekend, in 1968, the Uniform Monday Holiday Act moved it to the third Monday in February. In this episode, we'll feature an essay written by Walt Whitman after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and appeared in the complete prose works of Walt Whitman, published in 1892. Walt Whitman, who lived from 1819 to 1892, is one of America's most famous poets. He was considered a humanist, believing that the value of human beings individually and together held primacy over established practices, faiths, and doctrines. Whitman embraced intuition and emotion over rationality and became a great contributor to the genre of writing known as transcendentalism, a philosophical belief that the divine spirit resides within all of us. Whitman's preferred style was free verse, a form of poetry free of consistent meter, rhyme, or pattern. During the Civil War, Whitman treated injured soldiers in Washington, D.C. Army hospitals. His works shifted from self to the impact of the war. Described as impressionist sketches of Civil War scenes using words rather than colors, this profound shift in his writing style is best exemplified in two of his finest poems. Both were published after Lincoln's death in 1865, when lilacs last in the dooryard bloomed, 1865, and O Captain, My Captain, an extended metaphor with conventional meter and rhyme that's inspired many generations. After the war, Whitman worked at the Departments of Interior and Justice, where he served as a clerk until his stroke in 1873. Having met Lincoln personally, his essay on the slain president gives a first-person account of the man and, according to the author, his legacy. With that, we present An Essay on Abraham Lincoln by Walt Whitman. Glad am I to give, were anything better lacking, even the most brief and shorn testimony of Abraham Lincoln. Everything I heard about him authentically and every time I saw him, and it was my fortune through 1862 to 65 to see or pass a word with or watch him personally perhaps 20 or 30 times. Added to and annealed or inflamed my respect and love at the moment. And as I dwell on what I myself heard or saw of the mighty Westerner and blend it with the history and literature of my age and of what I can get of all ages and conclude it with his death, it seems like some tragic play superior to all else I know, vaster and fiercer and more convulsionary for this America of ours than Caecilius or Shakespeare ever drew for Athens or for England. And then the moral permeating underlying all, the lesson that none so remote, none so illiterate, no age, no class, but may directly or indirectly read. Abraham Lincoln's was one of those characters, the best of which the result of long trains of cause and effect, needing a certain spaciousness of time and perhaps even remoteness to properly enclose them, having unequaled influence on the shaping of this republic and therefore the world, as today, and then far more important, in the future. Thus, the time has by no means yet come for a thorough measurement of him. Nevertheless, we who live in this era, who have seen him and heard him face to face, and are in the midst of, or just parting from, the strong and strange events which he and we have had to do with, can in some respects bear valuable, perhaps indispensable, testimony concerning him. I should first like to give a very fair and characteristic likeness of Lincoln as I saw him and watched him one afternoon in Washington for nearly half an hour, not long before his death. It was as he stood on the balcony of the National Hotel, Pennsylvania Avenue, making a short speech to the crowd in front, on the occasion either of a set of new colors presented to a famous Illinois regiment, or of the daring capture by the Western men of some flags from the enemy, which latter phrase, by the by, was not used by him at all in his remarks. How the picture happened to be made, I do not know, but I bought it a few days afterward in Washington, and it was endorsed by everyone to whom I showed it. Though hundreds of portraits have been made by painters and photographers, many to pass on by copies to future times, I have never seen one yet that, in my opinion, deserved to be called a perfectly good likeness, nor do I believe there is really such a one in existence. May I not say, too, that as there is no entirely competent and emblematic likeness of Abraham Lincoln in picture or statue, there is not, perhaps cannot be, any full appropriate literary statement or summing up of him yet in existence. The best way to estimate the value of Lincoln is to think what the condition of America would be today if he had never lived, never been president. His nomination and first election were mainly accidents, experiments. Severely viewed, one cannot think very much of American political parties, from the beginning after the Revolutionary War down to the present time. Doubtless, while they have had their uses, have been and are the grass on which the cows feeds, and indispensable economies of growth, it is undeniable that under flippant names they have merely identified temporary passions or freaks, or sometimes prejudice, ignorance, or hatred. The only thing like a great and worthy idea vitalizing a party and making it heroic was the enthusiasm in 64 for re-electing Abraham Lincoln, and the reason behind that enthusiasm. How does this man compare with the acknowledged father of his country? Washington was modeled on the best Saxon, and Franklin, of the age of the Stuarts, rooted in the Elizabethan period, was essentially a noble Englishman, and just the kind needed for the occasions and the times of 1776 through 83. Lincoln, underneath his practicality, was far less European, was quite thoroughly Western, original, essentially non-conventional, and had a certain sort of outdoor or prairie stamp. One of the best of the late commentators on Shakespeare, Professor Dowden, makes the height and aggregate of his quality as a poet to be that he thoroughly blended the ideal with the practical or realistic. If this be so, I should say that what Shakespeare did in poetic expression, Abraham Lincoln essentially did in his personal and official life. I should say the invisible foundations and vertebrae of his character, more than any man's in history, were mystical, abstract, moral, and spiritual, while upon all of them was built, and out of all of them radiated, under the control of the average of circumstances, what the vulgar call horse sense, and a life often bent by temporary but most urgent materialistic and political reasons. He seems to have been a man of indomitable firmness, even obstinacy, on rare occasions involving great points. But he was generally very easy, flexible, tolerant, almost slouchy, respecting minor matters. I note that even those reports and anecdotes intended to level him down all leave the tinge of a favorable impression of him. As to his religious nature, it seems to me to have certainly been of the amplest, deepest, rooted, loftiest kind. Already, a new generation begins to tread the stage since the persons and events of the Secession War. I have more than once fancied to myself the time when the present century has closed and a new one opened, and the men and deeds of that contest have become somewhat vague and mythical fancied, perhaps in some great Western city, or group collected together or public festival, for the days of old, of 1863 and 4 and 5, are discussed. Some ancient soldier sitting in the background as the talk goes on and betraying himself by his emotion and moist eyes. Like the journeying Ithacan at the banquet of King Alcyonus, when the bard sings the contending warriors and their battles on the plains of Troy. So from sluices of Ulysses's eyes fast fell the tears and sighs, succeeded sighs. I have fancied, I say, some such venerable relic of this time of ours preserved to the next, or still the next, generation of America. I have fancied on such occasion the young men gathering around, the awe, the eager questions. What? Have you seen Abraham Lincoln and heard him speak and touched his hand? Have you, with your own eyes, looked on Grant and Lee and Sherman? Dear to democracy, to the very last, and among the paradoxes generated by America, not the least curious was that spectacle of all the kings and queens and emperors of the earth, many from remote distances, sending tributes of condolence and sorrow in memory of one raised through the commonest average of life, a rail splitter and flat boatman. Considered from contemporary points of view, who knows what the future may decide? And from the points of view of current democracy and the Union, the only thing like passion or infatuation in the man was the passion for the Union of these states. Abraham Lincoln seems to me the grandest figure yet on all the crowded canvas of the 19th century. Walt Whitman, Essay on Abraham Lincoln. Interesting to get that perspective, that look into the future. What will the future think of Lincoln, Whitman was asking. We are the future. And what do we think of Lincoln? And what are the similarities between our times and those times? Nothing ever changes under the sun. That's all the time we have today in the Radio Reading Room. I hope you'll join me the next time, and please put us in your library or favorite section so that you'll get updates when we post new episodes. Until then, I'm your host and reader, Myron Hieronymus Thomas, reminding you, God loves you.